recording already in.
The number you have reached has been changed. The new number has been disconnected.
Möchten Sie etwas zu trinken haben?
Dies ist viel besser.
Maddie.
Yes, hello. Can you tell me, is this information?
Yes.
It is?
Yes, it is.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
When a man is running from his boss who holds a gun that fires cops, he will die from being old or left alone. And bombs are dropped on fighting cats, and children's dreams are run with rats. You can play.
Yes, The Who here on WUSB in Stony Brook, kicking off Brain Damage with some words that never seem to change. If you complain, you disappear, just like the lesbians and queers, and some say the Chinese. Well, there are some lesbians and queers that won't be disappearing tomorrow. There'll be a parade in New York City, and if it wasn't so early, I'd probably go myself, but... To get into the city at 12:30 in the afternoon means I have to get up in the morning, which is just something I don't usually do. But if you're a person that gets up in the morning, please show your support for your fellow human beings. More than 250,000 people were expected to participate today, and we have stories about snail darters and hippopotamuses at zoos coming over our Associated Press wire, but nowhere does it say how many people participated today in the rally at the Great Lawn in Central Park, but it will be continuing tomorrow. Parade starts at 12:30 p.m. Columbus Circle, heads east on 59th Street to 5th Avenue, then south to Washington Square, north and west through Greenwich Village, ending at Sheridan Square. It's expected to last at least 3 hours. And these events are commemorating the 20th anniversary of the Stonewall Riots. The what? That's what most people say, Stonewall Riots. That took place in England, 1066 or something, right? No, that took place 20 years ago in Greenwich Village. It was the beginning of the gay rights movement. It's when people suddenly said, hey, you know, we can be proud of who we are. We can stand up and say to hell with all of the other people that are demanding we stay hidden. Well, the commemoration of that momentous event will draw more than 225 organizations and most of the city's political candidates. The riots began on June 27th, 1969. It's funny, that's our anniversary, too. WUSB went on the air June 27th, 1977. I wonder if there was... No, I don't think so. But they began on that day when the police raided the Stonewall Inn, a bar and dance club on Christopher Street that catered to homosexuals. And see what else we can come up with here. Okay, parade will start at 12:30 p.m. tomorrow. Marchers in 30 floats will move east along Central Park South toward Fifth Avenue, as we said, and wind up in Sheridan Square. The Christopher Street Festival and a dance at the Christopher Street Pier will be held from 4 to 10 p.m. tomorrow. And finally, the 20-minute fireworks display will start at 10:30 p.m., and that's what's happening. And watching TV over the last couple of overnight periods, you might have come across some interesting programs on Channel 13 as they're repeating a lot of documentaries, including one about how the gay rights equal access, I'm taking telephones, equal rights bill was passed in New York. And it's amazing to see the opposition that that reared its ugly head when that was happening. People saying, "Oh, if you give them the right to live in an apartment, that means you'll be saying my kids can be sodomized." You know, crazy logic like that. And it's funny when you look at it. You know, it's funny when you watch these people saying these crazy, ridiculous things. When you see Hasidic Jews who should understand what it's like to be pointed out and to be discriminated against, when you see them standing up with the Jerry Falwells and saying, "You people are disgusting, you should be torn apart, AIDS is something sent by God," when you see that, it's really funny. I mean, I was rolling on the floor. It was quite inspiring. But then you realize, you know, in a moment of seriousness, you realize people's lives are really being affected here. People are dying because of ignorance. They're being kicked out of their apartments. You know, a big thing in New York City is when a gay couple, when one of them dies, and a lot of them are dying these days because of AIDS, the remaining individual is kicked out of the apartment, and he has no legal recourse at this stage in the game. So that's something that is an ongoing thing, and you just don't think about it if you're not caught up in that particular stream of events. You know, people look back on the 60s and say, "Boy, that was an active time." The 80s are very active, too. And you don't have to look far to see where it's active. And some of us have learned from the past. Some of us are repeating the past. It's all very interesting, and you will find it interesting and educational if you go into the city tomorrow and participate. Don't have to worry. People aren't going to report you for showing up. But just think of why you're afraid to show your support, and try to place that against another event in the past when maybe somebody would be afraid to show support for black people because they'd be afraid of what their white friends would think. It's the same thing. Only this time, I think the threat is a little bit more real. Not that it wasn't real back then, but there's a lot of suffering going on, suffering that needs immediate attention, and rather sudden suffering, too, if you consider how quickly AIDS has come upon us. And, of course, AIDS is not a problem that's going to stay with one particular group of people. It just happened to hit that group of people first. And the sobering truth is that it's going to hit lots of groups of people, including fundamentalists. But that's a topic for another day. We have all kinds of things to talk about tonight. This is a call-in program, and we like people to call in. It sort of adds to the whole specter of the thing. Now, lots of people live out their lives from week to week, and they don't understand how to participate in a call-in show, and it can be difficult. I realize that. First, you have to find your telephone, okay? Now, it's that thing that rings at 3 o'clock in the morning and disturbs you. Sometimes doesn't disturb you. It's that thing. You have to pick it up and use it to disturb us. That's right. You pick it up and you dial 632-6901. And miraculously, somehow, by doing that, your voice will wind up over on our telephone equipment here somehow. But don't waste your time and do it right now, because we're not going to take your calls right away. We have other things to do. First of all, we have a very, very important announcement. This is an announcement of immense magnitude that affects an entire nation of people like that. It's a very important announcement, and I urge you to listen very, very carefully. I'm not going to make the announcement yet. I'm making the announcement later. If anyone can guess as to what the announcement is, good for you. I don't want to hear about it. We're going to make this announcement a little bit later on. It's very important. It affects an entire nation like that. Got to talk a little bit about China, I guess. We have, you know, China is still in the news. It's not going to be out of the news. We're going to talk about the porn lines and the burning of the American flag. Did we get that flag in here? Okay, we're trying to rip down the flag from the administration building. We'll see if we can get it over here. Not the Soviet one, the American one. Some joker put a Soviet one up there the other day. Our number again, 632-6901. Speaking of Soviets, they're waiting. They're waiting very patiently, and without any further ado.
This is your program, Moscow Mailbag. Here's Joe Adamov to answer your questions. Our questions today come from Jay Thompson of San Francisco. What is your road accident rate, and what are you doing to cut back the number of accidents?
I'm afraid that among the industrialized countries of the world, the number of accidents per year is exceedingly high. Last year, for instance, there were 47,000 road accident deaths, and over a million were injured. Now, if you compare this to the United States, their annual death toll on the roads is anywhere from 50 to 50,000, 55,000 a year. Yet, there are 11 to 12 times more cars or motor vehicles in the United States. Now, you ask, what do we intend to do about it? Well, first of all, to improve the system of teaching and training drivers at the special schools. Then we're going to introduce a unified, more mobile system of ambulance service on the highways, because very often the aid does not come fast enough. In other words, an effective system of ambulance aid on the highways. We're going to make the study of traffic and safety rules compulsory from the first to the seventh grades in our schools. We need safer railroad crossings, a wider use of computer technology by the traffic police. And, of course, we have to have a mass campaign to teach drivers to respect the other guy. In other words, to stop being a road hog, to drive defensively, not to do any lane hopping. And an all-out fight against drunken driving is something we need. We need better roads, especially in the rural areas of the country, and of course, safer vehicles.
What is your productivity of labor?
It is 55% that of the United States. But in all fairness, I must note that it is growing steadily. Among the factors that will ensure the growth of our productivity of labor are economic incentives, when the man on the job will be interested in working better, when he'll be interested in the final product that sells, when his pay will depend on quality and quantity of articles produced. And, of course, very important is the transfer of our economy to new modern technology, a new generation of technology, a transfer to principally new technological systems. Unfortunately, if you look in our economy, you'll find too much hand labor as of today. The farmer must be made the master of his production, and the worker a master of the plant he works in. I was flabbergasted to learn that a plant has to transfer the lion's share of its profit to the national budget, and another huge slice to the budget of the ministry, and only a tiny bit is left. A very tiny share is left for the factory itself. In other words, its needs for wages, for social needs, and so on. This is not cost accounting what we have today, and not self-financing. But we've proclaimed it, and we've got to see to it that we do what we have announced.
What is your attitude to using atomic power plants?
You know, this is a problem to which there is no one opinion. Here, at the Congress of People's Deputies, we heard no end of appeals to stop the construction or close down this or that nuclear power plant, or to move them further away from densely populated areas. Some have been closed down, in fact. We've heard demands to completely shut down the Chernobyl power station. On the other hand, our scientists say that the thing to do is make all our nuclear power plants safe to the absolute maximum. And our scientists are convinced that this can be done. because actually this is the power of the future, and ecologically it is the cleanest source of power.
Could you tell me something about your railroads?
Well, I'll give you some general figures. Our railroads carry half the passengers of the world, and a quarter of the railroad freight of the world. Though the total length of our railroads is only 10% of the world total, compared to the United States, we carry 5 times more freight than America. Of course, I do know that much of your haulage is done by trucks. We were at one time first in the world in the power of our locomotives, for instance, but then things began to slow down. Our trains often do not run on schedule. The speed of the trains is not what it should be. Safety is not up to required standards, as many accidents have shown. We often hear of crashes and disasters with grave consequences. The latest disaster in the Urals was, in my opinion, and not only in my opinion, but in the official opinion, not the fault of the railroad. Many of our locomotives are 20 to 25 years old. Their power is not what it should be today. And half of our freight cars use ball bearings, which are tens of times less dependent than roller bearings. For many long years, we have not changed our rails, and they certainly do need changing. So you see, the story is a pretty sad one, not to mention bad service in the passenger cars and at stations.
Are many of your railroad lines electrified?
About a third of our railroads are electrified, that is, they have electric traction. A few more years and about half of our trains will be hauled by electric locomotives.
Where do you stand on SDI?
Well, we're not against research and testing that is allowed by the ABM Treaty that we both signed in 1972. And for the agreed-upon time of the treaty. But we have compromised in the spirit of new thinking. We realize that you have something like 3,500 contracts that have been signed with military-industrial corporations. I realize this is business. What we are against is the transfer of arms into a new medium, into space. Some say that half the SDI budget goes into missile weapons based in space. Now, what we are witnessing is an attempt to continue the arms race in space with new weapons, new technologies that will be impossible to control. Now, sad to say, Mr. Bush has recently said that as soon as the new technology is ready, they will deploy it. I feel this might hamper progress on the 50% cut in strategic weapons. As for us, we will not develop a space defense system and will not deploy it. Now, all we are doing, and this has been the subject of much speculation in the West, all we are doing is fundamental research. And Mr. Gorbachev stated this very clearly. Fundamental research, which in some cases is covered by research in SDI.
Do you have social insurance?
Yes, it is all government financed, but you can insure your car, your home. You can take out a life insurance or an insurance in case of disability. Now, that will be in addition to what government social insurance provides. In this connection, I'd like to say that at the newly elected Congress, many deputies raised the question of low pensions. It is no secret that 23 million pensioners, retired people, have a pension of 60 rubles a month or less, which certainly is not enough to live on. Another question brought up was that for some unknown reason, farmers get pensions that are very much lower than city dwellers or workers, besides the fact that many wages are below the poverty level. So funds will have to be found to remedy this situation.
Do your leaders have a clear understanding of the problems facing them?
If you only listen to the proceedings of the Congress, they were telecast live across the nation, you could get an answer to your question immediately. So many people in offices where there are television sets sat watching the Congress debates, and I feel this caused partial absenteeism of sorts. The list of problems brought up would be several pages long. I mean, the problems brought up at the Congress. I'll try and name only some of the main ones. That all power should belong to the Soviets. An old revolutionary slogan. Soviets are councils. From the Congress down to the village Soviet or council. That there should be less dictate and orders from the center. Less dictate from the ministries, from the apparatus. More sovereignty and more rights to the republics. There should be measures, concrete measures adopted to get the economy out of the crisis situation. The fact that enterprises that lag behind in production of products and turn out goods that do not sell get paid the same as the advanced and better ones whose products do sell. Then there's the problem of strengthening the ruble, making it convertible. We need a law on the land. This must include various forms of ownership on the farm. Support for the new farmers and cooperatives. Of course, not all deputies come up with concrete proposals of how to actually concretely better the state of affairs. Speaking of the Congress, I can't but mention the fact that there is a lack of etiquette among the deputies, and the procedure mechanism has not been worked out any too well. But we do know our problems. The thing to do now is to remedy them.
What does the average Russian think of us Americans?
Well, I would not be exaggerating if I were to say that the man in the street is very friendly to the people of the United States, as all tourists find. We still remember and think of Americans as our allies ever since the Second World War. Now, these sentiments are not dead. We think that you are very much like us, peace-loving, proud, friendly. The Soviet people feel we could get along fine and much better than we're getting along now. Well, of course, sometimes we do not agree with your foreign policy, but I think that's our right. Our people think of America as a rich country, a land of skyscrapers, of automobiles, and of one- and two-story homes, a land of excellent technical know-how and efficiency in business. What else? They also know about the shady sides of your life, which our media, in days gone by, had been playing up a bit too much. But we all feel certain that we can and must get along. There is no alternative to that.
How about a political joke now, Joe, for a change, one of the recent series that you've introduced?
Yeah, the political, what is it called, the political folklore. Stalin and Truman were arguing who has more democracy, the United States or the USSR. Truman said, "Why, anyone can stand in front of the White House and shout, 'Down with Truman,' and nothing will happen to him." "So what?" said Stalin. "In our country, anybody can go to Red Square and yell, 'Down with Truman,' until he's hoarse, and nothing will happen to him either."
That was Joe Adamov answering your questions on Moscow Mailbag. Address your letters to Radio Moscow, Moscow, the USSR. Your comments on this show are welcome.
I still say it sounds like Andy Griffiths. Well, that's Moscow Mailbag, a regular feature of this program. Oh, the extended mix. Yeah, okay. Good, good, good. And that is heard every Saturday night about this time. Again, please send your letters and questions over there and mention that you heard it here. because that way we can continue to get the check. The tape from them every week. 10:34 is the time, and I think it's time that we sort of leap right into that special announcement that that we have to make. Extremely special announcement that affects an entire nation of people. Okay, how would you feel if one day you woke up and you found that it was no longer called the United States? If somewhere somebody decided to change the name to something else, like, you know, Bloomingdale's or something, who knows? Well, that's what happened. That's never bang your hand on a pen. That's what happened. I'm going to lose it tonight. Yes, that's for sure. That's what happened. When did it happen?
What happened?
Okay. A country changed its name. Yeah, a country changed. In fact, a country that we talked about on this very, very radio show only a few weeks ago has gone and changed its name.
Could that be the reason?
Could that be the reason for what?
That they changed their name.
I don't know. You know, they're small enough to have done that. I mean, who really cares if they change their name? I guess that's their logic. I'm sure nobody knows what I'm talking about, and that's why it will come as a real shock when I have to tell the people that are listening right now that this is hard. The country of Burma no longer exists. Are those sobs I hear in the background? Yes, I do hear sobs. There is no more Burma, folks.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Burma has ceased to be. And as of today, the United Nations has recognized the fact that Burma no longer exists, and they have recognized the new name of Burma, which I can't even pronounce, I don't think. I'll try. Myanmar. That's right. Myanmar is the new name for Burma.
Change your maps, folks.
Change your maps, and remember that Monty Python episode where they were watching the penguin on the TV set? They say, Burma! Well, why'd you say that? I panicked. You can't say Myanmar. You know, no one even knows what that means. Anyway, the Burmese radio said on Sunday, and that's kind of interesting because this came out in Saturday's paper. They're always a day ahead of us over there. That's the explanation. The Burmese radio said on Sunday that the government had changed the country's name to Myanmar, and that the name of the capital, oh boy, when they change things, they go all out. The capital had been changed. Rangoon doesn't even exist anymore. The capital had been changed from Rangoon to Yangon, as in Yangon to the bus. Yeah, the new versions are more faithful to contemporary Burmese usage. I'm sure to tell you a thing or two about contemporary Burmese. I'm sure I've just offended the only Burmese person in the audience, but they asked for it by changing their name. So, okay, to get it straight, Burma is now Myanmar, Rangoon is now Yangon. And now, it's time to play Confuse the Operator.
New York telephone, Ms. Beretta, may I help you?
Yes, hi. I'd like to make an overseas call, please, to Myanmar.
Thank you. I'll connect you for assistance, sir. Hold on,
Thank
please.
You very much. I'd really appreciate it.
One moment for an operator who can assist you. Thank you.
AT&T?
Yes, hi. I'd like to make a call to overseas information, please, from Myanmar.
What's the country city number?
That I don't know. That's what I'm trying to find out. If you can tell me the country code for Myanmar, that would be a big help.
What country is that?
It's Myanmar.
Have I heard of that?
Really? It's been in the papers.
Okay, hold on.
Okay. Some operators just don't know what's going on, I guess.
How do you say that?
I'm sorry? How do I spell it?
Yeah.
Well, I spell it M as in Mary, Y A N M A R.
M A Y A N.
No, no. M Y.
M Y.
A N.
A N.
M A R.
M A R. Okay, hold on.
Thank you. Some people say this is cruel. I've gotten.
That's not the city now, is it?
No, the city is Yangon or Yangon or something like that.
I'm not showing us any equipment.
It should be there.
Hold on a minute.
Okay. United Nations recognized it today. Boy, they're sitting so close together, we can hear the other operators talking.
Is this in the Middle East?
No, it's... actually, it's in the Far East. It's near Nepal and Bhutan, India.
It's in India?
No, it's not in India. It's near those places.
Oh, it's near India.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on a minute.
Thank you. In the end, he will be the smartest operator there because he'll know what this country is and nobody else will. Hopefully, he'll tell them. What we're doing here is spreading the good news.
Checking it over. Hold on, please.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Like an ant, he plods through the dense forest, trying to find out where Myanmar is. It's something, you know, you could come up with a completely fake name and they'd have to
recognize it. I'm going to have to get you a supervisor for this.
Okay.
Okay? Hold on a minute.
Thank you. Now we'll waste the supervisor's time. Actually, we're not wasting anybody's time, in case that's what people think. We're, I mean, if they knew where the country was, we wouldn't have to. It would have taken 2 seconds, right? Seems to me if you change your country's name, you send out those little forms. Yes, hi, is this the supervisor?
Yes.
I'm trying to find the country code for a country called Myanmar.
How do you spell it?
It's spelled M as in Mary, Y, A N as in Nancy, M A R.
Where? What country is this?
That's the country. It's in the Far East.
Sorry, it's in the Far East?
Yes.
Do you know where? Which closest city nearby?
Well, I know the capital city is Yangon. It's that's spelled Yangon. I know it's near Nepal. It's near India.
Don't know exactly where. Let's take a look.
Left my map at home. I bet the operators in England would know where it was. I mean, they're so friendly, and they always know where everything is. The White House operators, they should know where it is. They know where everything is. I'll take that. Don't touch it next time. What people in the studio? What do you get?
Nepal or India? Hold on just a second.
Okay. I'm about to tell her. Okay. I was about to tell her that what the old name of the country was, which might be of help to her, but she seems to be on another course. So let's see what she comes up with. And while she's doing that, let's tell you what the weather is, because I know folks are interested in that. It's 18 degrees Celsius, 64 on the Fahrenheit scale, and Funny, I brought the weather in here, and I seem to have lost it. Could that be it? Yes, that's it. We're expecting it to be partly cloudy, less humid, low in the low 60s. Sunday, a mix of sun and clouds, high near 80, cooler along the south shore. And on Sunday night, fair, low in the low 60s. For Monday, mostly sunny, high in the low 80s. Again, 18 Celsius. That's 64 yes. Fahrenheit. Hello?
Hold on.
Yes. Okay. Don't know what she has planned for us.
This is the name of the country?
Yes. Oh, we're going overseas somewhere. Taking a little trip. Oh, I'm having trouble.
Yes, operator, this is the United States calling. I need rooting for this country, M-Y-A-N-M-A-N.
Which place?
M-Y-A-N-M-A-N.
It is in which state?
Excuse me?
Actually, it's M-A-R.
Your party?
Excuse me?
That's M-A-R, not M-A-N.
M-A-R?
Sir, कहाँ के लिए call book करा है आपने?
Can you spell it again, sir?
Yes. M-Y-A-N-M-A-R.
Myanmar. It is in which state?
Do you know what state it's in?
What state? It's a country.
That's a country.
I'm India, New Delhi.
Right, but he's saying that this is a country near India?
I don't know, madam.
No.
Ooh.
Hold on.
Somebody right there transferring us. She could be real mad when I tell her what the country's old name was. I just wasted.
Is it in Nepal?
No, it's separate.
It's next to Nepal?
I'm not sure if it's next to it. It might be, but it's very close.
So it's near India as well?
Yeah, it's in that region.
Hold on.
Thank you. I can't tell it.
They hung up on us, so let's find Nepal. See if they're more helpful.
Okay. We're going to find out if the people in Nepal are more helpful than the people in India. So all you Nepalese listening to the show, this is your chance to prove yourselves more helpful than the Indians. Ah.
Your call cannot be completed at this time.
Hold on.
Thank you. Every now and then you get an operator that...
Hello? Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, hold on.
Every now and then you get one of these operators that just is very persistent and is determined to find the answer, and I have to admire that.
AT&T IoT.
Yes, operator. You are rooting for...
The name of the country I'm calling is spelled M-Y-A-N-M-A-R.
That's not a country name, that's for sure.
Oh, no, I'm afraid it is. The United Nations has recognized it as a country. I have it right in front of me. The capital city is Yangon. That's Y-A-N-G-O-N.
Spell it again, M-Y.
M-Y-A-N-M-A-R.
M-Y-A-N-M-A-R.
Yeah.
Hello? Myanmar.
Yeah, that's. I don't know if that's the correct pronunciation, but that is the name of the country.
Well, I'll tell you what. I deal with 260 countries, and this is not in our listing.
Maybe if I...
What is it near to? Tibet? Nepal? Bhutan? Where?
Well, I believe it was formerly called Burma.
Burma's. We deal with Burma.
But that's not the name anymore.
Yes, it is.
Today's New York Times says it's not the name.
But we only deal with Burma. If it changed names overnight, I don't know about it. Rangoon, Burma, we call.
Oh, well, it's not called Rangoon anymore either. It's called Yangon.
Do you handle these calls?
Yeah, we handle Burma.
Okay, I'll be off the line. Do you need the number he's calling from?
Yeah, just a minute. Let me take care of this ticket here. Okay. Yeah, sure. Give me the number.
I'm getting a ticket for this. Can you believe that?
His number.
516-632.
Okay, we're not going to listen to the number. There we go.
It's screen code 97.
Ooh.
It's like alternate billing or something.
Well, all I wanted was information, actually.
Okay. What do you need, then?
Okay, I needed the number for the embassy over there, United States Embassy.
Okay, hold on.
Thank you.
Hey, let me check something. One moment.
Okay. What's the New York Times?
Get the embassy book.
Get the embassy book?
Yeah, please. One moment.
Thank you.
When did this change occur?
It was fairly recently. I don't know exactly when, but I know it's no longer called Burma.
The New York Times?
Yeah, it was in Saturday's Times.
Did Burma change names and the country and the capital change names?
Right, they both changed names. They say it's more faithful to what the contemporary Burmese language.
Okay, because you just pulled the wool over my eyes. I don't know.
Okay.
Believe me, I never knew this. I've been working here for 6 years.
Uh huh. Well, it just happened, so I guess.
Yeah, we would know.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the numbers.
Okay.
There's several different numbers. Okay, the first one, it's Rangoon City Code 1, or whatever capital city you have there. City Code 1, 82181.
82181.
Then, it's 82055 up to 59. It's a sequence of numbers running from 55 to 59.
Okay.
Now, that's
right.
The old Rangoon capital city of Burma.
And what's the country code?
Okay, there's no direct dialing to Burma.
All right.
So if you want any calls to Burma, what you have to do is dial 00 in your area code, have an operator get the AT&T operator in your area code, connect you to Pittsburgh IOC.
Okay.
That's where I am.
All right.
And give us any number in any city you want there in Burma, and we'll be glad to try it.
Okay. Now, to avoid confusion in the future, is there a way to officially change the name? I mean, do they have to send you some kind of card or something?
It's still listed in our system as Burma. So just say you're calling Burma, we'll be glad to help you. Until we get an official notice from a country manager or the United Nations that they changed the name like they did with Upper Volta to Burkina Faso about 4 years ago.
That's right, yeah.
That's when it'll change in the AT&T system. But anytime you're calling there, use the old name, and we'll just know it and put it right through.
Okay, so when the country manager or whatever gets in touch with you, then they'll officially change the name.
Yeah, they'll tell us, and the government authorities over there tell everybody else in the whole world that they changed their name officially, and we'll just enter in our service.
Okay, that's reassuring.
I always mention you're calling Burma, and we'll punch it up accordingly. Okay,
okay? I'll make a little notation next to this to say Burma when I'm calling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
right.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Good night.
Bye-bye, good night.
Well, so that's the official rule, and I think we proved something here for those people that might try to call Myanmar. You have to say Burma when you're going through AT&T, otherwise they won't find it. I don't think it was a waste of time, and we also got the numbers of the embassy over there. And that was all a lot of fun. It didn't cost us anything. It was just harmless fun on a Saturday night. Kept us off the streets, you know. Fine. Okay. We can take some phone calls if you want to do that. 632-6901. I'd like to talk about the fact that it seems to be okay to burn a flag. Is that okay with our listeners? Have you ever burned a flag? Do you know anyone who's ever burned a flag? You know, I remember somebody in this neighborhood, Setauket, I think you might like the phrase crazy because I think he was, leader of a church who burned an Iranian flag in the middle of the hostage crisis, and that got the Channel 2 and Channel 4 news crew out here to watch that happening. He had a bunch of diehard supporters watching him do that, but for the most part, people tended to reject that kind of tactic, and I imagine the American people feel the same way about burning the American flag. Of all the demonstrations I've been to and all the marches and rallies and things like that, I don't think I've ever been to one where they've burned the American flag. You know, I just don't think it ever was really necessary. But is it important to have that right? Should the flag be above everything else? Because, you know, you can burn other things. You can burn newspapers and press releases and pictures of Nixon, whatever you want to burn. Is there any reason why you shouldn't be able to burn the American flag? And the other major thing that happened this week was the Supreme Court's overruling of a congressional law that stated that dial-up porn services were illegal. And the Supreme Court says, you can't do that, and now it's all kind of confused. Is it legal to have dial-up porn service or not? Do you think that's a good ruling, or don't you think that's a good ruling? Our number is 632-6901. And I'll try to get the articles that are pertinent to this assembled while we listen to our first few callers. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
It's going up.
Oops. You must have hung up. I'm sorry about that. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Hi, Sandra Goldman.
Hi, you got a loud hum on your line, but go ahead anyway.
All right. Oh, it's the radio?
What?
Is it like the radio? Here.
It's like the radio, sort of. Yeah, it's not really radio.
Is it better now?
No. The hum is it's a bad connection. Let's just say that.
Oh, all right. Guess what?
What?
I'm getting fan mail now.
You're getting fan mail?
Yeah.
I don't get fan mail. How is it you get fan mail?
Well, actually, it's sort of... that's my brother. Actually, it's sort of yours, too. He says... that's my brother.
What's your brother?
No, he's saying hello on the air. He says, hello. You and Eric Woolley are my favorite radio personality. Can I tell you... What? Oh, God. I'm sorry. Can I tell you a secret? On the instep side of the big toe on my left foot, I have a hideous bunion. This is really funny. That ripples with purple calluses and broken blood vessels.
Andrew, you know, that hum could have come on any phone line, but I'm sure glad it came on yours. Thanks for calling. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
To the know-all, do-all, see-all of radio. Wait, let them guess. It's Mr. Radio.
What can we do for you? Or what can we do to you? Better question. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hello, this is DJ Audio L. I'm out here in Gershwin. I'm listening to your show.
Okay, for the people off campus, I should say that Gershwin is a dormitory here on campus.
All righty.
Excuse me one second. What are you doing here on campus in the middle of the summer?
I'm taking classes.
Okay.
Yeah.
As long as you're not breaking in or something.
No. Okay.
What's
up? About dial porn?
Yeah.
I think there's, personally, I feel that, you know, it's a adequate service for adults, but I think it should be outlawed because I have little brothers and sisters, right?
Uh-huh.
And they're very smart. You know, I mean, they'll dial any number. And to me, if I catch them personally,
uh-huh,
I feel, you know, they did have a beating.
Well, so you think because little kids can call the numbers, they should be outlawed for everybody?
I think so, yes, because... if they're not outlawed, okay, adults can call, you know, that's fine, but kids still will have access, you know, and that's the, you know.
Well, supposing everybody who had a telephone was given the choice of whether to have access to those numbers or not.
Pardon me?
If everybody who had a telephone was asked to answer the question when they got it, do you want access to these numbers, yes or no? And if you said no, then you wouldn't be able to call those numbers from your phone.
That would be a great idea.
Okay, well, that actually is the case in many places.
That is?
You're able to block...
The option, child safety lock?
Well, no, not that. It's a software type of a thing.
Right.
It's the 970 exchange, and you can tell the phone company not to let your phone call 970. So that's a way of protecting it from...
So, in that case,
it's okay?
Okay, yeah.
What do you think about burning the flag? We're talking about that, too.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, we're covering two subjects in one here.
Burning the flag?
Well, yeah, Supreme Court did it. We can, too. Cover two subjects, that is.
Burning the American flag?
Yeah, well, the Supreme Court this week said that it's part of freedom of speech. It's a way of expressing yourself, and it shouldn't be banned. Do you agree?
I agree.
Okay. Any elaboration on that?
I definitely agree. Bur- to Wait, did I just say I agree to burn the flag?
You agreed that it's okay to burn the flag if you so desire. Is that what you meant?
I'm sorry. Let me take that back.
Okay.
I don't think you should burn the flag, the American flag. Not at all.
You think it should be illegal to burn the flag?
Yes.
Why is that?
I'm very patriotic, and I'm planning to join the service after I graduate. And, you know, burning the flag is almost sacrilegious.
Right, but
burn the flag.
But you said you're very patriotic. What would you say to somebody who wasn't patriotic?
Get out this country.
Uh-huh.
Definitely not.
But isn't it a free country? Doesn't that mean that you can be what you want to be without having to leave?
Sure, but burning the flag is like, really, it's like saying that you don't like the country. That's what it's saying. And if you don't like the country and you're living in it, well, you know, there's something wrong. Definitely something wrong there.
Uh-huh. Well, do you think the only alternative for people that don't like the country is to leave? I mean, maybe by burning the flag.
No, but burning the flag definitely won't make them, you know, won't change their attitude toward their dislike of the country.
Uh-huh. You see, you know, it's a symbol, yes, but it's also a piece of cloth, you know. And people who burn the flag are expressing some kind of a view, you know, I'm not quite sure what view it is, but they're trying to say something, and the way I look upon it, it's really just a form of expression. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they burn your flag, yes, you know, I'd be upset because it's your flag, but if they're just burning a flag to make a statement, how does that harm the rest of us? If anything, it seems to reaffirm other people's patriotism.
Well,
yeah, I mean, you sound much more patriotic now that we're talking about flags than you did when we were talking about pornography, right? And
right.
It's because we're talking about burning flags that you have become more patriotic. So you see, in a way, you have flag burners to thank for that. They've made you sound more patriotic, don't you see?
Yeah, I see.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying...
I still don't condone the burning of flags. I don't know. The idea seems not too good there.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, I want to thank you for calling and wish you luck.
Okay.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
632-6901. Talking about pornography on the phone and burning the flag. Let's see what the court said about it. Okay, this is what the majority opinion was. According to Justice William J. Brennan, if there is a bedrock principle underlying the First Amendment, it is that the government may not prohibit the expression of an idea simply because society finds the idea itself offensive or disagreeable. Justice Anthony Kennedy, whether or not he, referring to Johnson, who's Johnson? Does anybody know who Johnson is? No. The person who burned the flag. Okay, the person... Okay, we'll get to him in a second. Whether or not he, Johnson, could appreciate the enormity of the offense he gave, the fact remains that his acts were speech in both the technical and the fundamental meaning of the Constitution. That's Justice Anthony M. Kennedy. Okay, now this guy, Gregory Johnson, the other day in New York, stood happily clutching a burnt American flag, basking in his hour of triumph. Earlier, the Supreme Court, in the 5-4 decision, overturned the 32-year-old Bronx man's conviction for burning a U.S. flag in Dallas during the 1984 Republican National Convention. Johnson is a member of the Revolutionary Communist Youth Brigade, I remember them, whose members stood around the burning banner chanting, "America, red, white, and blue, we spit on you." As he savored his victory, Johnson, sporting high tops with red and black laces and a black motorcycle jacket, spewed forth a stream of revolutionary rhetoric aimed at leaving little doubt the decision had not reinstated his faith in the Constitution. "Liberty and justice for all is a lie," said the brown-haired, blue-eyed Johnson, who wears a goatee and a small gold loop through one ear. "I am not an American. I'm a proletarian internationalist, a Maoist." Johnson, who is unemployed, said he viewed the United States as a racist and oppressive society. As for veterans who might be upset by the sight of a burning flag, Johnson said he considered such people as Rambo maniacs, John Wayne-type patriots, and war criminals. "I don't care if they get outraged," he added. Johnson, a handful of whose supporters wore buttons that depicted burning flags and read, "Burn, baby, burn," said he developed his political views as a self-prescribed army brat on posts in Alabama and Georgia, where he observed discrimination against blacks. Later, during the Vietnam War, he lived with his family on an army post in West Germany, where he said he made extra money by delivering the armed forces newspaper Stars and Stripes. A lot of soldiers were disgusted over the war, he said. That radicalized me a lot. It was after joining the Revolutionary Communist Youth Brigade in 1976 that he developed a scientific understanding of the system, Johnson said. Asked to describe his activity for the group, Johnson said he distributed its newspapers in poor neighborhoods. Meanwhile, despite the Supreme Court victory, Johnson said his most important political battles lay ahead. Asked about his plans, Johnson quickly replied, "We're preparing the ground for revolution." Okay, you can call him a maniac, you can call him a crazy person, somebody who has no basis in reality, but I think the question here is whether or not he has the right to his expression. I mean, do we all have to say this is a great old country here, or does part of the freedom of speech of this great old country allow us to say it's not a great old country? That's really what it boils down to. Dissenters in the opinion, Justice John Paul Stevens said, "Sanctioning the public desecration of the flag will tarnish its value, both for those who cherish the ideas for which it waves and for those who desire to don the robes of martyrdom by burning it." And also Chief Justice William Rehnquist, hasn't been a good week for him, "The government may conscript men into the armed forces where they may fight and perhaps die for the flag, but the government may not prohibit the public burning of the banner under which they fight." And he's upset about that, obviously. So that's the question about burning the flag, whether or not that should be legal. Or I don't think anyone's really going to come out and condone it, but what people are saying is, do those of us who feel it's necessary have the right to do that? I mean, a lot of us say, if you don't like this country, leave it. But do we say, leave this country to the really hardened criminals, the drug dealers and the murderers? It seems to me they're more of a danger to mainstream society than somebody who just chooses to express himself in a rather unconventional way. Why don't we say, you people obviously don't love this country because you're breaking the law and killing people and raping and murdering, torturing, all that kind of stuff. So you should leave the country. We never say that, but we only say it to the people that burn the flag or say something critical about the United States. Are they the real threat? I mean, is it really a threat to have people going around criticizing the country, or is it actually something good for the country to have people constantly doing that? 632-6901, 7 minutes after 11 o'clock, we have some open lines, so let's get some calls in. 632-6901, area code 516. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Oh, yeah. My name is Vinny, with an IE, the one who called last week.
I remember you, yes.
Yeah. I'm calling about this American flag thing.
Okay, you called the right place. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's right, but I don't really think they could do any harm by burning a flag.
Okay.
See what I mean? Because it's just like a piece of cloth, and it does symbolize our country. And, you know,
uh-huh.
At least in this country, you can burn a flag, and like, but in like the Soviet Union, if you burned a flag, you'd probably get shot or something.
Well, I don't know if you would these days. We should ask some people to try it and see what happens. But yeah, I mean, a lot of countries. You know, Iran, for instance, you say the wrong thing. I mean, they're stoning shoe stores now in Bangladesh because someone's slipper, the symbol on a slipper resembles something that means Allah. So they're going crazy about that. In many countries of the world, yes, burning a flag is definitely not considered a way to stay alive. But many countries of the world do not claim to be democratic. And, you know, have equal rights for all and free speech and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, if we're going to say that, if we're going to go on the record of saying we're a democratic society, then we have to take the good with the bad. You know, it means a certain commitment.
Yeah, I see what you're talking about.
Uh-huh.
And what about this pornography thing?
Okay, what the Supreme Court said about that was that it's unconstitutional to ban outright these sex lines that you call up and hear a little recorded voice saying all kinds of interesting things. Kind of vague in the way that they outlined it, but basically you can't ban it totally. You can't say, you know, we can have no sex lines on the telephone. They said it's unconstitutional. Kind of surprised me. I wasn't expecting them to do that. But what do you think about that?
Yeah, well, if people want to call up, if that's the only way they can have fun, let them do it, you know?
Uh-huh.
So, it's... Because some people, you know, it's just like, they can't do anything else, so they call these numbers.
Uh-huh.
Either that or they buy that magazine, which I won't name, and they call the numbers.
I see. Well, it's, you know, it's a two... a two-pointed tire, I guess, is the phrase I'm looking for, where you get, you know, the offensive messages on the phone, and you also get the high cost of the calls. You know, some of them cost like $20 per call, and that to me is more outrageous than what the calls are saying. You know, and I think that there should be a better way to protect people against accidentally dialing the wrong number and being charged, you know, triple digits for making one call. So yeah, there's a lot of things to be addressed, but I don't think obscenity or indecency, as they called it on the phone lines, is a major deal.
Yeah, well, in some places in the world, you could get some other stuff for $20 instead of like calling these lines.
How do you mean?
Like, you know, the streetwalkers and things like that in New York City.
Uh huh.
Like that.
Right, but for those who don't want to travel, or for those who feel like, you know, just staying on the phone. It's good to have, I mean, you have things on TV, right? You have things on phone. A phone is a very personal thing. You should be able to do whatever you want over the telephone, you know? It's nobody's getting hurt. You might be spending more money than you want to. That's really the extent of it. And there should be a way to keep kids from accessing it. I think the best way to do that is to know who your kids are and know that they're not doing this To make it clear to them that they're not supposed to do this. And obviously you'll find out if they do.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think it appears on the phone bill. I'm not sure.
It sure does, yeah. It appears very in big, bold face, practically, you know.
Yeah, because some people I know call, like, 900 numbers and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
None of these porn lines.
Those really appear. But as we mentioned before, in most places, you can get those numbers blocked. Since all the sex lines are in the 970 exchange, I'm just imagining why people aren't filling up our phone lines, because I said it's 970 and they're all scanning the exchange to find all the messages there. Yeah, there are a lot of them. Every number in the 970 exchange is a sex line.
No
question about it. The reason they were segregated there was so that, you know, people could elect to block that particular exchange and therefore not have any sex messages enter their house in any form.
Yeah, and I have to say one more thing about someone who keeps calling this.
Keeps calling you?
No, keeps calling this brain damage.
Who
is this Mr. Radio guy?
I don't know.
Who does he think he is?
He's very sarcastic, obviously, based on the things he says.
Yeah, and him and his disciples, I mean, some people want him for president and stuff like that.
They do?
Yeah, I remember that from a long time ago.
Uh-huh.
I have that on tape. Some guy said, Mr. President, or whatever his name, Mr. Radio should run for president.
Ah, well, I don't think they'll get their wish.
Yeah, and he has to announce it each time he comes on. I don't really think that's right.
No, I don't either. Well, what would you do about it? Would you ban Mr. Radio altogether?
Yeah, I think we should put a ban. I think we should go to the Supreme Court about that.
Well, send them a fax, and maybe they'll get right on it.
Yeah, I hope he's listening, too.
Yeah.
Probably call back up and go, this is the Noel Duel CEO.
Well, we don't need imitators.
The whole, pretty soon we're going to have, like, imitators, like Elvis imitators and, like, Mr. Radio imitators.
Let's hope and pray for whatever is left. Thanks for calling.
Okay, have a nice night.
You too. 632-6901. And it'll be heavy breathing as usual on more than 200 adult telephone lines in the New York metropolitan area. Services take in roughly $60 million a year. They're expected to be unaffected by the Supreme Court's style of porn decision yesterday. Richard Kessel, however, the the head of the state's Consumer Protection Board, is very disappointed. I think that while I am certainly a believer in free speech, he says, the telephone system is being totally abused by these dial-a-porn purveyors, and unfortunately, the ratepayers are subsidizing it. Kessel said it is now up to the telephone companies to decide not to run the services on their own, but New York Telephone says it can't do that. They say since the breakup of the Bell system, New York Telephone has been required to provide the lines for adult telephone services, although it does not provide the messages. We have long stated for years and testified before Congress that we find these repugnant and damaging to our business reputation, and we wish that some legislative bodies would find a way of patrolling these things, says New York Telephone. New York Telephone has segregated all the adult message services into one exchange, 970. And this is from Newsday, and Newsday got one key fact wrong here, which follows. Any New York Telephone residential or business customer can have the service set so that 970 numbers cannot be called from their phones. Well, that is not true. And I know it's not true because I asked to do that, and they said, sorry, we can't do that in your area, sir. Can you believe that, sir? One day we'll be able to. So it's true in most places, but it's not true in all places. What the phone company hopes for is passage of legislation pending in Albany that would give it the option of not providing billing services to adult message lines. In other words, you get the bill direct from the place you called and not from the phone company. It wouldn't show up on your phone bill. You simply get something else in the mail. And that's one reasonable option. That way, the phone company doesn't have to deal with it at all. So we have blocking here. If you try to call 970... you get a little siren there indicating that you've done something illegal. However, there is a way to get through, and perhaps we'll try a little bit later, because this ruling brings out a very interesting point. The Supreme Court has said basically that a federal ban on commercial telephone messages that are indecent but not obscene violates the constitutional right to free speech. Okay, now what is indecent and what is obscene? Well, neither the dial-a-porn law that the Supreme Court addressed yesterday nor the court's opinion defined obscenity or indecency or described the difference between the two. And this is something that we're used to here at the radio station, because the same thing has been happening with the FCC with indecency and obscenity, kind of vague handings down from Capitol Hill saying that you can't be obscene or indecent during daylight hours, but you can be indecent at night, but you can't be obscene ever. Okay, great. Now tell us what it means, and maybe we can follow it. The constitutional definition of obscenity remains the one the court adopted in a 1973 decision, Miller versus California. To be obscene, the material taken as a whole must meet three tests. It must appeal to prurient interest. What does prurient mean? You have no idea? Dictionary? A dictionary around here? Dial a dictionary somewhere? Well, I mean, I've seen the word before, and I can sort of sense what it might mean, but I don't know for sure what it means. I'm not gonna venture to say. There might be a dictionary in the newsroom. If it was a newsroom that produced news, we would have a dictionary. So we're going to look for that. Okay, that's number one. Number two, it must contain patently offensive depictions or descriptions of specific sexual conduct. I don't know what patently offensive means. What's offensive to you certainly isn't offensive to me, and vice versa. Number three, on the whole, and this is a scary one, on the whole, it must have no serious literary, artistic, political, or scientific value. I'm really uncomfortable with somebody in government explaining to me what has serious literary, artistic, political, or scientific value. The Miller decision rejected the idea of a national standard of obscenity. Whether something meets the three tests is to be judged by a local jury according to community standards. No dictionary. Oh, well. So that means our community here, the Stony Brook area, must decide what is obscene to it. And our obscenity may not be the same as Selden's obscenity. I happen to know it's not the same. The court has never directly defined indecency, but has indicated in subsequent decisions that speech that is patently offensive according to community standards, but that falls short of the test of obscenity, can be considered indecent. So that means that if somebody says, this doesn't have any serious literary value because it meets one of the three conditions, it's indecent. Interesting. And indecency is something that you cannot put on the airwaves at night. I'm sorry, during the daytime. But you can put it on the air at night. And since all of these sex lines have been protected now and declared indecent and not obscene, and it's nighttime, that means technically we can call one of those lines on the air now and be perfectly within our rights. Of course, these phones won't let us do that. But there is a bug that will let us do that. And I know what the bug is, but I don't know. I don't know yet if I'm going to call that. I'm certainly not going to stick through the whole thing because that's just not all that interesting. Our number is 632-6901. What's your opinion on all this? We have three open lines, and we'll go back to the phones when those lines are filled. Because silly people could be on the lines that are lit, and I want to have lots of other lines to go to. The ruling was a constitutional lifeline, though not a complete victory for the $2 billion a year dial-a-porn industry, which offers sexually explicit recorded messages and special telephone exchanges. The industry has been under sustained attack from Congress and federal regulators since it began in 1983. The court was considering the latest attempt to shut the industry down. A 1988 law made it a crime to offer both obscene and indecent telephone messages for commercial purposes. For providers of obscene messages, Congress set the maximum penalty at 2 years in jail and fines of up to $500,000. For indecent messages, the penalty was a $50,000 fine and 6 months in jail. The law was challenged by Sable Communications of California, Incorporated, a provider of sexually explicit recorded messages. In a ruling last July, Federal District Judge A. Wallace Tashima in Los Angeles upheld the obscenity portion but declared that the ban on indecent speech violated the First Amendment. Both Sable and the Reagan administration appealed directly to the Supreme Court. Sable argued that the entire law was unconstitutional, while the Reagan administration argued that the Constitution permitted the ban on indecency as well as obscenity. Incredible. We have repeatedly held that the protection of the First Amendment does not extend to obscene speech, said Justice White. On the other hand, he said, the goal of preventing children from being exposed to indecent telephone messages, while valid, could not justify a complete ban that also prevented adults from access to material that does have the protection of the First Amendment. Justice White said the law has the invalid effect of limiting the content of adult telephone conversations to that which is suitable for children to hear. It is another case of burning up the house to roast the pig. Kind of like that phrase, eh? Justice William Brennan dissented from the obscenity portion. He was joined by Justices Thurgood Marshall, good name for a kid, eh? And John Paul Stevens. I have long been convinced that the exaction of criminal penalties for the distribution of obscene materials to consenting adults is constitutionally intolerable, Justice Brennan said. The company's principal argument on the obscenity issue was that the law, in effect, set a national standard for obscenity in contrast to the contemporary community standards approach. Well, it's the stuff that we've all seen before with radio. It's kind of interesting to see it again. The government asked the court to extend to the dial-a-porn area its analysis in a 1978 broadcasting case, FCC versus Pacifica. In that decision, often referred to as the Seven Dirty Words case, the court upheld a federal regulation requiring broadcasters to limit indecent speech to the nighttime to limit children's access. But Justice White said that Pacifica is readily distinguishable from this case. For one thing, he said the court, in the broadcast case, upheld a limit but not a total ban. Additionally, he said placing a telephone call is not the same as turning on a radio and being taken by surprise by an indecent message. So, that is a good point.
If you can't define what indecent is.
What's wrong with your microphone?
Can you hear?
Yeah, can you sort of hit it? Okay, it's working now. No, it stopped working. It only works when you hit it. Okay.
Oh, there.
There you go.
Okay. I mean, if you can't define these terms indecent, then what's the point of it all? It all comes down to just who you're offending.
Well, if you're going to ban them, yeah, you have to define them.
Exactly. So if you cannot define them, which they cannot define them, there's problems in media defining these terms, then why bother? It's just the point of offending people. And different people get offended by different things. The same with the flag burning. I mean, it's offensive to society. It's if you see a flag being burned, you're startled a bit, because from a very young age, we're taught not to step on the flag, not to let it drop on the floor. But we really never know the meaning behind it all. We just look at this flag as this real important object. And it's just the whole offensive thing. And
yeah.
I wonder if it's really important to waste our time over this.
It seems pretty silly, because obviously things mean different things to different people, and to have a uniform kind of a standard, a way of looking at the whole thing.
It's impossible.
Like that. Why spend the time dealing with it
and arguing over?
For some reason, we're only hearing every other word. Let me just wipe this thing. Usual technical quality here at USB. Okay. No, that didn't work. Give it a good slug now. Try it now. No. It's really messed up. Okay. Every time you move it, it seems to work. Try it now.
Okay.
No. You want to just come over here and use this microphone? Oh, no. It just fell apart, too. My goodness,
no,
I never saw
it
do that before.
Eric, it doesn't.
No, the whole thing just
that matters.
All I did was move it with my hand, and the whole thing just broke in half.
Sorry.
Folks, we are struggling here to stay on the air. At this time, it would be very good if some more people called in and helped us out, because we're having major trouble here. 632-6901, where is everybody? Is there some kind of baseball game on tonight or something? Or maybe obscenity doesn't interest people anymore. Okay, I'm getting this back together here. There we go. Okay, this one now works, and just stick your head through that machine there and
okay.
Reach this microphone.
Oh.
Can't believe it. Everybody hung up.
Well, oh, no.
We offended them, I guess.
We offended them. And think about this. Does it really matter? Does it matter? Can you listen to the radio and hear obscenities? What do you think about it? Are you bothered by that or not? Or do you just turn your radio off or go to another radio station? And you have a choice to call dial-a-porn or not.
But you have a choice to listen to the radio. If you're listening to Light FM or something, you're not going to hear some guy carrying on about Marxism or something, you know.
It's too bad, but that's true.
But you know what you're going to hear. If you listen to USB, you know to expect the unexpected. If you listen to BAI, you know to expect the unexpected. Or just to hear things that might offend you or offend somebody else or somebody you're with. But it's all a part of life. I mean, if you're walking down the street, you know you might hear something that's going to offend you.
If someone,
you stay indoors, you're likely not to.
Right. If someone, let's say, is relieving themselves on the sidewalk, that is offensive to some
you
people.
Think so?
Sometimes if you see that, that's offensive. If someone is wearing, let's say, a very dark polyester suit in the middle of the summer,
oh, God,
sometimes that is very offensive.
you take it as it comes and you deal with it. You either don't look at it, or you turn off your radio, or you don't call these numbers. You protect yourself in that way. But I think we are wasting our time trying to come up with terminology to define what is obscene. Mm-hmm.
You're not saying that we're wasting our time now talking about this?
No.
That would be insulting.
Sure, no. No.
Come in here and tell me I'm wasting my time.
What else can we talk about?
There's nothing I just like.
Right. Exactly, so we have to talk about
it. Right, I have a China piece.
No wonder why people aren't calling.
Yeah.
Okay, people call.
Give the number.
Call. It's 632-6901.
Area code 516.
Area code 516. Please call. Give us your view.
There's a caller on the line, but why don't you join him and or her and make them, you know, not feel so all alone there. Okay, there's two calls in the line.
There we go. Let's
get three more calls in the line, then we'll go back to the phones. And it sounds like we're asking for money, but we're not. We're just asking for calls.
Maybe, Eric, can you say something offensive, do you think?
Balderdash!
Huh? Okay, well, there we have it.
That's as offensive as I get.
Look at that. The phone lines light up. It's pandemonium in here. It's turmoil.
Okay, you heard what I said now. Should that be outlawed? Should that be banned? Thank God the microphone is working. Our number is 632-6901, and we're talking about the Supreme Court and pornography and flag burning and that kind of thing. Let's see who we have. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hey, how you doing? This is Mark from Selden.
Mark from Selden. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. And I just want to say that I don't really think you could make a difference between indecent and obscene. There's no way you can really, like, mark where one ends and the other begins. And this is all just everyone's like fears, like they want to protect their kids from the dial of porn and from dirty magazines and everything like that, but there's no way you can really, it's not the government's job to do that. And I think that
exactly, yeah, it's not the government's job, it's our jobs as individuals.
I mean, it'd be really great if the government could do that, I mean, but everyone wants to raise their kids different ways, and
well, I'd just touch upon that for a second. If it's, you know, I don't know if it would be really great because you'd have kind of an authoritarian regime.
Yeah, I'm saying it'd be great if they could do it, but then we'd lose democracy.
Exactly. And that's what it's all about, is democracy, and this is a part of democracy, is making these decisions for ourselves.
I think a lot of older people.
That's scared. Although, you know, to tell you the truth, I see a lot of people that I grew up with sort of already having that kind of attitude about various things, already saying, well, you know, things just aren't the way they used to be, you know, 10 years ago. You know, kids aren't the same, music's not the same, you know, and they become more conservative. And I don't know, they don't see what's happening to them. They don't see the change.
Yeah, that's another point, you know, as society's always going to change, you know, and how could you have one definition of obscenity when it's going to change, too?
That's true. I mean, I could find a particular... I think obscenity is a very personal thing. Something that I find completely obscene and shocking and horrible, someone else will find completely acceptable. Now, if I happen to be in power, does that mean that person is in trouble because they disagree with me? It's, you know, it's dangerous ground we're treading on here.
Yeah, the flag, and I don't think that I don't think burning the flag's a good idea. You know, I wouldn't, you know, couldn't see myself hanging out with people burning the flag all the time.
Right, and that's your decision.
But I don't say I could stop people from doing it. I mean, I don't like it, but if we stop them from doing it, then what else could we say? We could say that if you don't say the Pledge of Allegiance, then you should. That's illegal, and then this is illegal, and that's illegal.
Yeah.
And voting for Republicans is illegal, or something. You know. Where does it stop?
Yeah, that's a valid point there. All right, thanks so much for calling, sir.
Okay, bye.
Our number is 632-6901. The lines are open. And to throw yet another subject into this, going back to China, there's interesting piece in the Viewpoint section of the Times today by Qichen Wang, who is a professor of Chinese literature at Columbia University, titled Chinese Hardliners Did the Right Thing. Yeah. Let's take a listen to this. In a New York Times article, dated June 9th, Deng Xiaoping was quoted as saying, "A very small number of people created turmoil, and this eventually developed into a counter-revolutionary rebellion. They are trying to overthrow the Communist Party, topple the socialist system, and subvert the People's Republic of China so as to establish a capitalist republic." The headline writer put the words "small number" in derisive quotation marks, undoubtedly reflecting somebody's editorial sentiment. Frankly, I do not see anything wrong with Mr. Deng's statement. All movements and demonstrations, all rebellions that fail or revolutions that succeed, are instigated by a handful of men who seek power so that they can impose on the majority their particular brand of tyranny. There is no question that the purpose of the recent demonstrations was to topple the present government and set up a democratic capitalist system that seems to be in fashion all over the world. To save the system that they set up after decades of struggle, it is the duty of the leaders of the Chinese Communist Party to suppress any counter-revolutionary movement, and it is their duty to do so before it gets completely out of hand and becomes a real threat to the only effective and stable government that China has seen in this century. The mistake of the hardliner leadership in the present crisis is that it did not move soon enough. If it had moved against the agitators in the early stages, it could have suppressed the movement without bloodshed. By its indecision and tolerance, however, it emboldened the demonstrators and led them to indulge in disruptive violence. The army was called in just in time. The bloodshed, including the recent executions, is regrettable, but it is better to shed a little blood than to have civil war. A civil war could be perhaps as long and bloody as the American Civil War, or even worse. Whatever one thinks of the American Civil War, it is a model that the Chinese people cannot afford to follow or emulate. The 40 years of communist rule is the only period of stability in China in this century. It might be one of the longest periods of effective government in all Chinese history, and it has been a period of unparalleled progress and comparative prosperity. Life might have been austere, but there is comparatively little hunger and starvation. There is no question in my mind that the large majority of the people have been better off during these 40 years than any period within memory. If given the choice between the known benefits of the stability of the present regime and the risk and uncertainties of trying to set up a new one, it is not difficult to predict that the majority would prefer to keep the present regime. It might be instructive to compare the present pro-democracy movement to the May 4th movement in 1919. In the earlier protest, Chinese students demonstrated against the Versailles Peace Treaty, which awarded to Japan the rights it had wrested from China by the infamous 21 demands of 1915. The Chinese government was about to acquiesce in Japanese aggressiveness, but the student protesters had the universal support of public opinion. As a result, the Chinese delegates to the peace conference refused to sign the treaty. Except for the initial attack on May 4th on the residences of three government officials who were perceived as having sold out to the Japanese, the demonstrations were peaceful and the students quietly submitted to arrest and detention. On the other hand, in the present crisis, the students first called for democracy in vague terms and then demanded the resignation of Prime Minister Li Peng. In effect, they called for the capitulation of the government. Their disruptive acts can hardly be called peaceful. They seem to have adopted the tactics of the student movements of the 60s in America. They disrupted traffic, set fires to cars and buses, and refused to disperse. When troops were finally called in, they resisted with firebombs and rocks, injuring and perhaps killing a number of soldiers. Under the circumstances, it seems very unreasonable to expect, as the American media does, the legally constituted government of China to yield to such lawlessness. Again, a piece in the New York Times today by Qichen Wang, supporting what the Chinese government has done against the student demonstrators. And yes, that is one man's opinion, and actually that's the opinion of the Chinese government, but it's kind of sad to see so much obviously not seen. And I just wonder how many people are going to believe that those demonstrations actually were violent. We saw them on TV. And we watched what was going on up until the time when they were shot. And very, very little violence. And whatever violence there was controlled and and stopped by those same student demonstrators. Their whole point was nonviolent demonstrations and just a call for freedom of speech, pretty much what we're talking about tonight. Of course, what allows a piece like this to appear in the newspaper in the first place, because that obviously is not the the popular sentiment here. Again, the executions started this week in China, and that's pretty scary because there's quite a few of them. I think about 30 people now have been executed. It's amazing. The period of time from arrest to trial to carrying out of the sentencing is incredibly swift, and that kind of a sentence is not one you can appeal. Our number is 632-6901. Going to try to take some more calls after this. Thank you.
now. Hi, Tiger. This is Submissive Susan, and if you're into beautiful females willing to do anything for you, you've made a good choice by calling 970-SUCK because the selection is more than you could ever ask for. Press number one in your touch tone if you'd like to have a woman wear exotic accessories for you, including nipple clips, high heels, and leather. Or go ahead and press number two if you'd like her to wear a handcuff while you tease her with whips and chains. And if you desire a mistress who can withstand your severe punishment, gather up your ropes and devices and press number three. If you want to play a nasty game of master and servant, press number four and you can be in command. Or press number five for a young virgin who needs you to teach her a few lessons. Go ahead and make your choice now, or I'll pick one for you. Thank you for calling 970-SUCK. Do call.
No. No, I promise I'll be good. I promise.
Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Oh, yeah. How you doing?
Okay. How are you?
I'm doing all right. You know who this is?
No. Who is this?
This is Vito with an O. Remember me? Last week you hung up on me?
Vito with an O. I hung up on you? When did I hang up on you?
I don't know. I don't know. I asked you a dumb question or something like that.
Oh, well, I apologize for hanging up on me.
That's no big deal. You said it was an accident, but I know you really did it on purpose.
Oh, it's quite possible. I do those kind of things.
Yeah, I know.
What's on your mind?
Oh, so this flag thing here?
Yeah.
Yeah, this flag thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so burning the American flag, I think that's pretty profanic.
Pretty what?
Profanic.
Okay, you want to elaborate on that?
Well, what do you mean, elaborate? Could you give me the definition of that?
It means to go on.
To go on.
Yeah.
It's not right. I think you should be arrested. You know, why would somebody burn a flag just because it touches the ground? Really?
Why would somebody burn a flag just because it touches the ground?
Yes.
Maybe I'm missing something there.
No. You never heard that?
No.
When you like touch the ground with a flag, you gotta burn it?
Really?
That's right.
Now that you mention it, I did hear that. When you touch the ground with now, what kind of crazy law is that?
I don't know. They taught that in school.
That's right. And what does that mean? That means that you become like a revolutionary when you drop the flag? I realize. Then again, I see tattered flags, you know, above banks and things like that. Flags obviously haven't been changed in years. Seems like that's a lot less patriotic than actually taking the time to get a flag and light it a fire, which takes quite a bit of doing, I understand.
Oh, I think that's wrong, though. Just because it touches the ground. I mean, if you drop a flag, it hits the ground, you got to burn it.
And it doesn't say much for the ground, does it? And we should really be thankful to the ground because we wouldn't be here without it.
It just hits the ground.
Uh-huh.
You know, like you lay it over the ground, and you got to burn that after when a freight flag, you know, like off to Navy ships.
Uh-huh.
You have to burn those, too.
That's a lot of burning.
I know.
That's you raised a good point there. I'm sure the people that have to do that are relieved by the Supreme Court's decision, but...
That's really strange, though. I don't know why they burn it, because when I was in, fourth grade, some teacher, I was, like, waving a flag around, and she said, if you drop that, you have to burn it. It's like, she's, like, yelling at me. Just, like, I was just holding the flag up. She starts yelling at me.
Uh-huh.
It's like, okay.
Well, some teachers I can tell you stories about. They go crazy about things like that.
I don't know. It was really strange.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, you raised some interesting points.
I just thought of that when you started talking about this flag thing.
Uh-huh.
I was listening, and I figured I should bring up that point, because I didn't hear it from anybody.
No, and I haven't seen that in the newspapers anywhere, so thanks for bringing it up.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay. 632-6901 is our telephone number, and the lines are open. We have 8 minutes left to go. If anybody has anything to say to get out over the airwaves now, is the time to do it. Again, to recap, it's no longer called Burma. There's no more Burma in the world. It has been destroyed and replaced with Myanmar. And the capital of Rangoon has been changed to Yangon or something like that. And the phone company does not know about it yet. We found that out, so you heard it here first on WUSB. We also played you a little bit of a dial-a-porn thing, not enough to do any harm, I hope. We also read a pro-hardline viewpoint from the Times, Chinese hardline, that is. Had nothing to do with the dial-a-porn, don't worry about that. Also, we were talking about flag burning and stuff like that. And taking your calls, of which there have not been very many tonight. There must be something going on that I don't know about. The number is 632-6901. Also, we talked about the Lesbian and Gay Pride weekend taking place in New York, and hopefully brought your attention to the fact that there's a parade tomorrow at 12:30 in the city. More than 250,000 people are expected, so this should be an interesting event and well worth attending. Our number is 632-6901. We have 6 minutes to go. Your last chance to voice your views. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage. Oh, they hung up. And they hung up so quietly, too. I don't know. People are shy tonight, I guess. Is there, like, a riot outside or something that would keep people outdoors?
Yeah.
Oh, why didn't you tell me that? We should be covering it. There's a riot out there?
Very big.
How big?
Very big. Thousand or so.
Really?
Yeah.
1,000 people. Any flag burning?
Yeah, there were a few.
Lovely, yeah. Lovely. Let's see if these people know about it. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage. Okay, good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Can you speak up a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay. What's on your mind?
Well, my friend died about a month, 2 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
What a tag of accident, sorry about.
Uh-huh.
And I just wanted to pray for him. Is that okay?
Sure, go ahead.
I think he's up there. I think he can hear me. I just want to know, you know, I don't know. I just want to pray for him. His name's Brian.
Uh-huh.
And his brother just died 2 days ago, I think, also. They're both on the motorcycle.
They both died in a motorcycle? Oh, was it the same accident?
Excuse me?
They both died in the same accident, you mean?
Yeah. They just... Brian died right on contact.
Uh-huh.
And his brother was in a coma for a while.
Uh-huh. Did this happen around here?
It was right by the mall. St. David Mall.
Really?
Yeah, it was terrible. So, I don't know. I just wanted to pray for him.
Okay. Well, I hope it works.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Motorcycles can be extremely dangerous, and lots of things in this world can be very dangerous. But if you're on a motorcycle, please be careful. And I guess on that rather sobering note, we're going to draw to a close tonight. It's been fun and educational. Next week, who knows what we'll be doing, talking about some other newsworthy subject. Eric Corley with you this Saturday night. Be back again next Saturday night at this time, hopefully. Thanks, Lauren, for beaming in.
Thank you.
Wish your mic worked. It would be much better if it did. Want to hit it one more time?
Yeah, sure.
It's amazing. You can hear what you're...
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Now talk into it, though.
Hi.
It works. Hello. Usually you can hear her hit it, but you can't hear her when she talks into it.
Oh, maybe that's good.
Okay, now if you just don't breathe on it, I think it'll... You know, it's a very loose connection in there somewhere.
Okay, I will breathe.
Okay. Well, while Lauren's turning blue over there, I'll
continue
saying goodnight to everybody, and thanks for calling, and thanks for just being you, and all that kind of garbage. Stay tuned for the mystery DJ next. I don't know who's here. I know that Brother Bill is not here, and I don't think Brother Nick is either, so that means somebody is here, and we'll find out soon enough who that may be. Good night.
the lunatic is of the gods. Remembering games, days of chains and locks, got to keep the loonies on the path. The lunatic is in the hall. The lunatics are in my hall. The paper holds their folded faces to the floor. Every day the paper boy brings more.
Feel, and all that you love, and all that you hate.